I invite you to please turn to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2. I continue our study on our confession of faith, or a confession of faith. So this will be a topical message. Ephesians chapter 2. One of the major doctrines found in Scripture is the doctrine of the atonement, which is also expressed by the hymn, "Nothing but the blood." We sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." This doctrine, my friends, gives a clear distinction among all religions. The truth is, we are sinners and have offended the holy God. The question is, what does it take to be forgiven of our sin and be reconciled to God? The answer is found in the Bible. Yes, we as Baptists believe the song accurately records that answer. So we continue with our study, we believe, and today's topic is the atonement. So we believe of what we believe of the atonement for sin. I'm going to divide it up into two parts. So this will be part one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts. Draw us unto you. Give us understanding minds and discernment of your word. We do pray if any in our midst is lost, that you would convict them of their sin. Draw them to Jesus Christ. We pray that they might be saved even today. Again, thank you for this opportunity. We commit this time to you today. We love you. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. The statement reads this: we believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God, who by the appointment of the Father freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and by his death made a full and vicarious atonement for our sins. That his atonement consisted not in setting us an example by his death as a martyr, but was a voluntary substitution of himself in the sinner's place, the just dying for the unjust. Christ the Lord, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, that having risen from the dead, he is now enthroned in heaven and uniting in his wonderful person the most tender sympathies with divine perfection. He is in every way qualified to be a suitable, a compassionate, and all-sufficient Savior. That's what we believe of the atonement for sin. So the first thing we want to look at is this matter of salvation by grace. I've asked you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and you'll notice in verse 8 where it clearly states for us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And so we find very clearly. Now verse 9 says, "It's not of works, lest any man should boast." If salvation was a work, then it's something you can be proud of, pat yourself on the back and say, "Look at what I've achieved." But salvation is not a work. Salvation is by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. By grace are you saved through faith. My friend, today, if you have any other concept than that, then you have a concept that is in error. Salvation is by grace. There is no other way. And I think that's very clear through the text. But then go back, if you would, to Acts chapter 5. Or 15, rather, Acts chapter 15. Salvation of sinners is wholly of grace. That's what the confession reads, and that's what we believe in Acts chapter 15, as there is a response and reference to when the salvation came to the Gentiles, and there was a discussion of these events about the Gentiles being included in the matter of the salvation as well as the Jews. There's a record for us in verse 11 where it says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Jew or Gentile, doesn't make any difference. Any man anywhere in the world can only be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, "We believe that." And we believe that. That's what we believe. So the statement is clear at the beginning. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. Now this salvation is by grace, but it's through the work of the Son of God. Since it is of grace, it is not of works. It's not something that we can do. It's not something we can present. It's not some merit that we can achieve. But salvation is by the grace of God through the work of the Son of God. One verse here, according to the verses in reference to the confession, verse 24, chapter 3, it says, "Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Justification is a legal declaration of righteousness. I, as a sinner, was condemned under the judgment and the wrath of God, but I needed to be forgiven of my sin. I needed to be justified. And that justification only comes through the provision of Jesus Christ. And so he says in the text, we're justified freely, see that, by his grace. I'm justified today. I've been forgiven of my sin, and I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of God's grace. It's not anything that I could earn. I was justified freely by his grace, and this was achieved through the redemption that is found in, that is in Christ Jesus, the text says. And so the confession is very clear that it is, we believe that salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God. It's what Christ has done. I'm saved today because of Jesus Christ, and there's no other reason. Jesus is the Savior. Now, the confession also goes on and speaks about how that he was appointed by the Father. Now, I'm going to just offer this one verse that confession states for us, and it's John 3:16. So I won't invite you to turn over there because I assume that you know that. If not, it should be sufficient. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." How is it that a sinner like myself can be forgiven of my sin? It's not a work which I can do, but it must be something which is accomplished by someone other than myself, and that someone is Jesus Christ. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, become a sacrifice for sinners. And because of Jesus Christ leaving heaven, coming to earth, and dying for me, I can have eternal life. I can be forgiven of my sin. My salvation is wholly of grace through the work of Jesus Christ, and he was appointed by the Father to come. Well, that leads us then to the matter of the atonement itself, and the statement says, and bear with me for just a moment. Again, it says, he freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and by his death made a full and vicarious atonement for our sins. Now recognize, as I read that text, that there is a matter of how he took upon him our nature. Last week, we talked about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. How important is that? Well, it's absolutely essential. That God would leave heaven, come to earth. He would come through, be born of a woman. And she was a virgin. And so God was the Father, and he became a man. God in the flesh. Absolutely essential. He took upon human nature. He became a man, but yet without sin. That's the good thing. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and without sin, without blemish, without spot. And because of that, he is able to be a sacrifice for us. And so what he did in his life, the text says that he honored the divine law by his personal obedience. Jesus never did anything wrong. He lived a perfect life while in this flesh, but we know that he was killed. And so the statement says, and by his death made a full and vicarious atonement for our sins. When we think about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he went to the cross and he suffered and he died, it's more than just someone that was being put to death. Remember, there were two others being crucified that day. And these were criminals. But the one in the middle, Jesus Christ, was no criminal. He was being put to death for something he did not do. But still, it was just a human death, was it not? But with the Lord Jesus Christ, it was more than that. Because as he hung on the cross, he as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, bore our sins upon his own body while he hung there on the tree. You see, he became the sacrifice for me. He became the sacrifice for you. If you'd repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. The atonement is through Jesus Christ. Fact is, you're a sinner, you're under the condemnation of God, and you can't fix that. You need to have your sins atoned. How is that going to happen? We believe that it's going to be by grace through Jesus Christ, because he came when the Father sent him to come, and he died on the cross so we might have eternal life. So these verses that we express then are the verses that apply to the first half of this message and that are found in the confession. By the way, that confession is in the bulletin on the back side of the prayer list. You can certainly follow along there. Let's consider some of these verses, the fact of the atonement of Jesus Christ for our sins. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, it's just a brief statement. Let me read it to you. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." That's why he left heaven. He came to earth so that he might save lost sinners. But then turn, please, if you would, And you might want to keep a finger there in Romans chapter 3 where you're at. I'm coming right back there in just a few minutes. So keep a finger there and go over to the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians chapter 2. We're now substantiating the point that Jesus Christ made an atonement for our sins. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Left heaven, came to earth, and he took upon him a human nature. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You say, well, we saw some of this on the virgin birth. Well, absolutely, but it's necessary because they go hand in hand. If Jesus Christ was not virgin born, he cannot make an atonement for our sins. And if he's going to make an atonement for our sins, he must be virgin born. And so Jesus Christ is who he said he was, and he died on the cross for us. And well, because of him, we can be cleansed from our sins. We can receive the atonement provided through him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is, we're human beings. We're people. That's who we are. He also himself likewise took part of the same. So God left heaven, came to earth to become a man. Why did he do that? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. God, how amazing is it that God would leave heaven and become a man so that he could save men from their sin? Did he have to do that? He didn't have to do that, but he willingly did so. Why? Because he loved us. Go back to Isaiah chapter 53 then. Keep a finger in Romans 3. Isaiah 53. The classic Old Testament passage regarding the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was without sin and he honored the divine law by his personal obedience, but through his death he made a full and vicarious atonement for our sins. That's what the statement says. That's what we believe. His death was more than just an execution of a person. So in Isaiah chapter 53, we pick it up in verse 4 and we read it very clearly. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for, notice, our transgressions. See that? Not his own. He didn't have any. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. Everything that he took upon the cross is what we deserve. All we like sheep, verse 6 says, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now go to Romans chapter 3. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, died for sinners. A vicarious atonement. He took their place upon the cross. We'll see more of that next week as we finish out the statement. But go back to Romans chapter 3. If you kept a finger there, you'll find in verse 25, we read verse 24. And in verse 25 says, whom, that's a reference to Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Jesus Christ was set forth to be a propitiation. The word in the original language for propitiation is actually the word for the mercy seat. If you remember in the Old Testament scriptures when they had the built the temple in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the wilderness. They had the Ark of the Covenant, remember? And they had in the Ark was the Ten Commandments and the pot of manna, and at one time was Aaron's rod. But the Ten Commandments was there. And on top of that Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat, of which there were two angels that overlooked that mercy seat. And that's the featured article of all the furniture that was placed in the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle itself. And the high priest went in with the blood of bulls and goats for a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And they did that once a year. Other than that, they didn't look at that item. They didn't approach that item. But once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer up incense and blood upon the mercy seat. And that mercy seat covered the Ten Commandments, and that blood sprinkled upon that mercy seat depicts the covering of the blood over the commandments, and thus the sins of Israel were rolled forward for another year. In other words, they were forgiven and they could continue on. God would not destroy them. This is the word mercy seat. God has set forth Jesus Christ to be a propitiation, a mercy seat. And as we'll see in a moment, he's a covering for our sin. If you're going to be forgiven of your sin, my friend, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Absolutely no other way. Doesn't that cause a distinction between all religions? Can't you make a division there? All you got to do is ask him, how can I be forgiven of my sins? And you'll find out real quick where they fall. The Bible teaches us that we're forgiven of our sins through the atonement of Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. That's what we teach. And so you read that there in Romans chapter 3. But go over, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. The last verse that we'll concern ourselves with pertaining to the confession itself is 1 John 4:10, where John writes, and he says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." Notice what he did because he loved us. "And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The mercy seat, the covering, the expiation, if you're familiar with that term. And so we consider the first part of this statement on the confession, and we recognize that salvation is by grace through the work of the Son of God, who was appointed by the Father, and simply he just became an atonement for our sins. Having that under our belt, now I want to go forward and concern ourselves with the atonement itself. I want to digress. I'm going to depart from the confession at this time. All of this remaining information is what I believe is necessary for us to understand the atonement. We'll get back into the confession next week, the Lord willing, and finish that out. But I think it's necessary to understand the atonement. What do we mean by the atonement? And so what do we believe for the atonement of sin? First of all, by definition, there are four things I'm going to offer you. The first is the definition. According to Webster's 10th Dictionary, it says that atonement is the reconciliation of God and man through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Well, at least they got that right. They probably don't believe it, but that's what the word means. But it is also the reparation for an offense or an injury or a satisfaction. So you see, you can make an atonement in a sense if you steal from somebody and you can make reparation. Then you can make satisfaction for that. Now, it's not the religious atonement. It's not atonement for our sin, but you know that word makes it's a matter of reparation. And you can satisfy an injury. So when we come to God and we think about that fact that we sin against God, how can there be a reparation? How can there be a resolution of that injury against God? How we offended Him? How can that be fixed? Only through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Because we can't make an atonement in that regard at all. There isn't anything we can do to offer to God to make Him forgive us. Or cause Him to forgive us. Does that make sense to you? So the atonement is really, truly the reconciliation of God and man through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. According to Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Terms, they said God shows mercy to sinners in and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in His death on the cross by the shedding of His blood in His vicarious sacrifice for sin. Jesus didn't die just for the sake of dying. He actually shed His blood for us, the vicarious death. It's a substitutionary death. He took my place on the cross, you see. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, this matter of atonement, I quote, "The root meanings of the Hebrew words are to cover, hence to expiate, condone, cancel, or placate, to offer or to receive a sin offering, hence, make atonement, appease, propitiate, effect reconciliation, that is, by some conduct or course of action. Of the Greek words, the meanings are to be or cause to be friendly, to render other, hence, to restore." See, man, when he sinned against God, fell out of joint with God. There needs to be a reconciliation. A man needs to be made right with God. That's what the atonement will do. Because it satisfies the justice of God and allows us to be made right with God. But it's the atonement of Jesus Christ. So I submit unto you that the atonement is the means whereby we are reconciled to God by the covering of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, or by His propitiation. The only way I can go to heaven when I die is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And I'm not talking about the blood of Jesus Christ plus this. Oh, I got to, I believe on Jesus Christ, but then I have to do this. And then I have to do that. And then I have to be baptized. And then I have to live this. Then I have to give that. And then I have to donate this. No, it isn't that way at all. If I'm going to be saved, it's going to be by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And there's nothing that I can add to it. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what we teach. That's what we believe. Salvation for your sin is only going to come through Jesus Christ and the provision which he made as he hung on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago. And if you don't access God through that provision, you will not access God. You see how essential it is to know who Jesus Christ is. That he did come through the virgin birth and he gave up his life that we might have eternal life. How tremendous is that? I'm saved today because of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the definition for atonement. Let me offer you then a declaration. Let's look at a few more verses. Go back, if you would, to the book of Leviticus chapter 17. I want to consider this matter of atonement. Here's what God said about atonement. Leviticus chapter 17. As God gave the commands to Moses, all the rules and guidelines and expression and revelation, God told him something. And if you're familiar with the Jewish way of Judaism and the Jewish way of religion, you know that they offered sacrifice. They had sacrifice morning, sacrifice evening, had all kinds of sacrifices. Peace offerings and love offerings and sin offerings and all kinds of sacrifices were given. Why'd they do that? Even if you go back to the beginning of time when Adam and Eve lived and then they had their children, Cain and Abel, and Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. He did it his own way. Abel brought of the flock and offered up a sacrifice. And God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's sacrifice. Right there from the very beginning, you find in the book of Genesis the difference between works and grace. And Cain brought works and he was rejected. Abel brought the lamb, the sacrifice, and he was accepted. Why? Leviticus 17 is God reveals to Moses, and verse 11 it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Oh, by the way, don't eat blood. That's an approach to God. It really is. God hates that. Don't be one who sits around and drinks blood pudding and all that kind of stuff. I think that's an error. Why? "The life of the flesh is in the blood." Notice what he says. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." Notice what it says. "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." How can your soul be atoned? God said, "By the blood can your soul be atoned." Isn't that what he said? Go, if you would, to the New Testament scriptures, Hebrews chapter 9. God declares that atonement for the soul is only through blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Or 22, I'm sorry. Verse 22, it teaches us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." Notice what it says, "And without the shedding of blood is no remission." Could the Jews have their sins rolled off? Could God still continue to bless the nation? Could he do that without blood? No, he could not. That's why the high priest went in on the Day of Atonement every year and offered up the blood of the sacrifice, because through that atonement, God would roll that sin away. Now, that's the declaration that God makes about sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But not only is there a declaration, there is a difference. There's a distinction that needs to be understood. You're there in Hebrews chapter 9. Look into chapter 10. I want to make this very clear, because I don't want you leaving here saying, "Oh, well, now I got to go home and go out and try to buy some sheep and start sacrificing sheep." Not saying that at all. You do need to know the declaration that God said that by blood is their atonement, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. But here is the difference. Chapter 10, verse 4. Here's what God said. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." Impossible. All the blood that was shed by the Jewish leaders from the time of Moses all the way through history, you know what? None of that could take away sin. It could roll it toward the next year. It could cover him for a time, but it can't take away sin. It says it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's just not possible. Therefore, do not run out. Start sacrificing sheep and goats and bring offerings to God because you're going to offer up blood. Rather, look at chapter 9 and look at verse 12 this time. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. This is important. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. Who's that a reference to? It's a reference to Christ, the high priest. Verse 11. By His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Inasmuch as the Old Testament priest pictures the sacrifice that is made, going in and taking that blood upon the mercy seat, sprinkling upon the mercy seat, whereof our sins are covered. Those things could never take away sin, but Jesus Christ, by His shed blood, went into the mercy seat in heaven with His blood and offered upon the mercy seat in heaven so that He can make a covering for our sins. He gave His blood. And so the deliverance which we have is through the blood of Jesus Christ. I stated that from the very start, didn't I? How can I have atonement for my sin? It isn't anything I can do. And it's going to be through blood. But the only blood that's acceptable before God is the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see that? Do you understand that? Well, let's look at some verses and I'll be finished. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Lest you think that I'm making this up. Let's look. That's more than just one verse here. Understand, dear sinner, you can only be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's by grace. And it's not of works. Let's look at these verses. See what they say. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul writing to the church, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are purchased with what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'll be going in order, so you just keep going to your right. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8 finishes by saying, "Christ died for us." And verse 9 it says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." I need to be justified because I'm a sinner before God. How can I be justified? Through His blood. You see that? Through His blood. Ephesians chapter 1. Keep going to your right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption." That means to buy out of the marketplace. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." How can I be forgiven of my sin? It's through His blood. How can I be redeemed? It's through His blood. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. 2:13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off," that's a reference to the Gentiles, "are made nigh by the blood of Christ." How are the Gentiles made near? Because of the blood of Christ. We referenced that in Acts chapter 15, verse 11, when they were discussing the matter of the Gentiles now being saved and so forth. We read that text. They're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians, to your right, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 20. Colossians 1, 20. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." How does God make reconciliation of those who are away from Him? It's through the blood of His cross. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." And so they beat Jesus. They took Him outside the city walls and nailed Him to a cross. He did that to sanctify His people with His own blood. Verse 20, Hebrews 13. "But now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. How can I be forgiven of my sin? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. A few more pages to the right. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, 18. Talking about the Jewish form of tradition and how they got it off base, you know, and they thought they could get the forgiveness through their sacrifices and through their giving and so forth. Just notice the expression, but we'll be looking specifically into verse 19, but contrast it. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and yet there are people today who believe they can get to heaven by giving money to the church. Nothing wrong with giving money to the church. We received an offering. You should give money to the church, but it's not going to redeem your soul. They're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers, but notice what does make a difference. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How can I be redeemed? It's through the precious blood of Christ. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7 says this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. How can your sin be cleansed? Well, so many say, well, you got to go through the waters of baptism. What cleanses my sin? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses my sin. You see that? Because it's the blood that makes an atonement. Not water, blood. You know, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the night that he was betrayed, it says over Mark chapter 14, let me read this to you in verse 24. As he gave them the wine, he said unto them, this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many. It's all about the blood, isn't it? About the blood. So let me offer you a few thoughts in closing. Number one, Jesus left heaven and became a man in order to be the proper sacrifice for mankind. If he didn't become a man, he couldn't be a sacrifice for us. And that's why he left heaven, to become a man. Remember, he took on our nature. That's what the confession states, and that's what we believe. Number two, he lived a perfect, sinless life, but he was executed as a condemned criminal. And in doing so, he became our substitute and thus a sacrifice for us. That's what he did on the cross. Number three, because of his provision, he shed his blood on the cross, right? Because of his provision, a sinner might be forgiven of his or her sin and reconciled to God, that provision being his shed blood, which covers our sin. Sinner today, I want you to know the only way you can have forgiveness of your sin is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and it's by grace through faith, and there's no other way. Absolutely no other way. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be through the blood of Jesus. So as we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Therefore, I believe it is clear that salvation is by grace through faith and not of works. As I said at the beginning, all religions may be tried by this doctrine. Find out what it takes that they're saying for you to be forgiven of your sin, that you can enter into heaven, and see what it is. And the Bible makes it very clear. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. By him we receive the atonement. Well, there's more on the doctrine of atonement. We'll finish up the confession next time. And so, Lord willing, we'll do that next Sunday. Let's stand. You see how important the atonement is? I have met so many people in my life that believe that they were going to heaven because they joined a church. I've met people that believe they were going to heaven because they were baptized. I met people in my ministry that said that they were going to heaven because they'd lived a good life and they did the best they could, and God will understand. I'll tell you, my friend, I'm going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. the death that he provided for me. As he died on the cross, gave up his life, he gives me life. The atonement comes through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Father, we commit this time to you today. We ask that you would speak to hearts and move by your Holy Spirit, convicting the lost, drawing them to you. And we pray that the lost might be saved today. We who are saved be encouraged and strengthened, knowing that we're saved by grace through faith. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Song is number 327. 327.